For 50 years, Europe has dreamed of building a common market, a community, and a union of nations into what some have likened to a United States of Europe. Today, the European Union takes in 27 nations and is the largest trading bloc in the world. Its population is larger than the United States, and some say its currency, the euro, could one day overtake the dollar as the world's trading currency. Europe is growing, changing, and facing a crossroads in its history. You probably don't spend much time thinking about Europe. For most of us, Europe's turbulent past has been forgotten. For many others, Europe has become a museum of past glories. Yet Europe could one day soon have a dramatic impact on your life. Stay with us as we look beyond today's headlines and consider Europe's long dream.
Join our host, Darris McNeely, and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
What do politics and events in Europe have to do with your life today and in the future? More than you may realize. Today's global world makes what happens in a remote corner of the globe relevant to the price we pay for gas or what appears on the shelves of our local retail store. Events ahead in Europe will surprise all the experts and catch the world unaware. It's vital for you to pay attention and understand the history of Europe and how this history will shape the future. With me to discuss this subject today is Melvin Rhodes. Melvin is a frequent traveler to Europe and writes often on the subject of political and social affairs in Europe. Welcome to the program today, Melvin.
Thank you, Darris. It's good to be here.
Let's look at this matter of Europe and what's taking place. And I think up front the audience needs to understand exactly why it's important to them.
Well, Europe is now the biggest trading system in the world. It's the biggest single market. A great deal of the economic decisions which the United States makes today are determined very much by Europe, because Europe has a lot of legislation. American companies have to comply with that. Companies like Microsoft, for example, have run into conflict with the European Commission. And Europe is growing. It keeps on adding new members. Just in January, two more members were added, Bulgaria and Romania. So more and more countries are becoming a part of this system.
So it's affecting a great deal about life in not just the United States, but around the world.
Yes.
When you look at the history of Europe, there's always been a great deal of tug of war between religion and politics. What's been the relation between religion and politics in the whole scope of European history?
Well, for almost 2,000 years, religion and politics have been very close in Europe, but that doesn't mean it's been a smooth relationship at all. I mean, quite often the church and also the country, the state, are trying to get from each other. They're not giving to each other. They're seeking their own advantage. So there's been a lot of conflicts between church and state throughout the centuries. But even today, a number of countries in Europe still have state churches, official churches, even though many of them do allow freedom of religion.
If we look at the role of religion today in European culture, what do we find?
Really, there's not much religion, certainly in Western Europe. In some countries like Poland, there's still a great deal of religious influence. But in Western Europe, over the last two or three centuries, we've seen a lot of changes which have resulted in most people today not being believers. I mean, the changes really started with the Renaissance in the 15th and 16th centuries, and then you had the Protestant Reformation take place in the 16th century.
Now, the Protestant Reformation was, let's define that for the audience.
That was where there was a major schism between the Catholic Church and a lot of people within the Catholic Church who left. They were protesting, hence the name Protestants. They were protesting against various aspects of the Catholic Church. So they formed their own churches, like the Lutherans, the Anglicans in England, the Calvinists, and so on. And, you know, that was a major rift in European history in the 16th century. Mm-hmm. That led to a number of wars as well. And those religious wars turned people off religion. But more recently, in the 1800s, you had Charles Darwin and the theory of evolution.
Right.
And then in the 20th century, World War I and World War II, a lot of people felt after the two world wars, because of all the carnage, there cannot possibly be a God, so they were turned off religion. And then I think added to that, after World War II, most Western European nations introduced various forms of welfare and medical systems, for example, provided by the government.
Structure of government.
Very socialist. So people looked to the government for security rather than to God. So gradually, in the 20th century, religious influence was diminished in every European country.
Did they blame religion? Did they blame God? What was behind this turn from religion to a more secular society, do you think?
I think it was a bit of both. They blamed religion, but I think a lot of people came to the conclusion there cannot be a God because there was so much suffering in those various conflicts. I'd say most people in Europe lost close family members during the different conflicts that they had. So it was a bit of both. And there was also a great disillusionment because, you know, in World War I, for example, each of the armies that went into battle was blessed by the priests of their particular church.
Or the pastor of their
church. Yeah. And so, you know, in a sense, it was also a religious conflict. You had, the Anglicans from Britain, the Lutherans from Germany, the Orthodox from Russia, the Catholics from Austria all coming together, fighting, all supposedly believing in the same God. But, you know, all thinking that God was on their side. But, of course, the result was a terrible carnage.
If we look at this scene today, and I know that in the recent discussions that they've had there with the Constitution for the European Union, there was a great deal of debate, and they actually omitted any reference to Christianity from the preamble of that original Constitution that was never really ratified. But that has sparked the awareness that they are trying to deny their roots. When you look at that and you look at the secular mood, what is it that could possibly revive Europe's spiritual roots?
I think an external threat could. I think there's already a sea change taking place in Europe following what happened on September the 11th, although, of course, that attack was in the United States. Some European countries themselves have suffered terrorist attacks as well. So there's an awakening taking place. A lot of people are starting to see Islam as a threat to Europe and its traditions. And as a result of that threat being a religious one, there is more interest in Europe's historical roots and a realization on the part of some people that there's a need to return to that.
Do you think if there was some overt type of, let's say, a terrorist act that would take place that would even threaten the existing social structure that they have? You mentioned that it's a very highly socialist structure. That this threat to their economic stability could also cause a revival of some type of a search for spiritual meaning?
I think so. I think if they suffered a major terrorist attack, for example, that would obviously have that result. But also, yes, a lot of their systems, their social systems are creaking because they're costing so much money. And, you know, the economies are not growing in most cases as fast as they should. So, you know, anything could happen. I mean, they could collapse. And out of that would probably come a turning back to their religious beliefs.
You think it would catch people by surprise?
Oh, very much so, yeah, yeah.
Well, this is a major subject that bears a great deal of discussion, and this idea of Europe having a long dream from which they one day soon may awake will have a dramatic impact on our world. The booklet that we are offering today that will give you a bit more of the background of this subject is entitled The Book of Revelation Unveiled. This booklet will take you through a study of the book of Revelation, the prophecies of Revelation, as well as the answer to much of the turmoil that we have seen historically, not only in Europe, but throughout the world, and the ultimate ushering in of the kingdom of God prophesied in the book of Revelation. This booklet is a very important one. You can find it online at beyondtoday.tv. We'll be right back when we begin to discuss even further more about Europe's long dream and how that dream will impact your life. Stay with us.
What is the meaning of the book of Revelation? Its mysterious images, its beasts, its catastrophes, its demonic traps of deception. Find out by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of the book of Revelation Unveiled. Find out where history, global politics, and global religion in control of the world system are leading us all. See how world events are exactly described in the story flow of the Book of Revelation in your Bible. Decode the images of the beast as the scrolls of Revelation open before your eyes. Understand how even Christianity will dissolve as the world system explodes in religious-inspired violence. Understand all this by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv. Get the Book of Revelation unveiled.
And we are back to Beyond Today. We are discussing Europe's long dream. I recently made a trip to Germany and visited there the city of Aachen. Aachen is where Charlemagne, the king of the Franks, made his seat of power and united much of Europe after the fall of Rome. Charlemagne is called the king and father of Europe. Every year, the city fathers of Aachen bestow the Charlemagne Prize on the person who has done the most to advance the cause of European unity. London's Economist magazine runs a column each week on Europe, and it is called Charlemagne. Charlemagne ruled over a kingdom greater than any since the days of Constantine. This kingdom was called Europe, and it claimed continuity with the old Roman Empire. His territory included many of the modern nations of Europe. Charlemagne considered himself a defender of the faith. He took his role seriously and felt that he and the Pope in Rome were together responsible for promoting, advancing, and defending the kingdom of God on earth. In fact, his favorite book was Augustine's City of God. In that book, Augustine formulated the doctrine that the church was the kingdom on earth, and that all scripture that talked of a literal kingdom on the earth was mere allegory. Charlemagne's reign rebuilt the Roman Empire in the West. Charlemagne, along with his clergy and scholars, imposed a cultural unity on the divided tribes of Europe. Europe was built around a set of cultural values and common beliefs, and it had a spiritual heart with the church at Rome very much involved. In the years to come, nations would war after and among one another, but always within the context of the common spiritual culture. Melvin, in mentioning the concept of the kingdom of God, let's define for the audience as it relates to Europe and what has happened there historically and in the future. Let's define the meaning of the biblical teaching for the kingdom of God.
Well, Jesus Christ came preaching the gospel, the good news of the coming kingdom. But in John 18 and verse 36, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." The earthly kingdoms, the European kingdoms throughout history that have considered themselves the kingdom of God, have no biblical basis. And certainly the way they conducted themselves was not very Christian.
But the kingdom of God from the Bible is talking about a literal kingdom to be brought to this earth.
It is. It's talking about a literal kingdom which will come to this earth, will be established on this earth when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, which is still in the future.
So it's a teaching then that takes those scriptures literally.
Yes.
So when we look at that, how does that apply to what was built in Europe from the time of Charlemagne through the Middle Ages?
Well, for 1,000 years after Charlemagne, right at the very center of Europe, the heart of Europe, you had the Holy Roman Empire. And it's often been said it wasn't holy, it wasn't Roman, and it wasn't an empire. But the Holy Roman Empire was supposedly the kingdom of God on earth. For hundreds of years, the popes were the spiritual leaders of Europe, the vicars of Christ. A vicar means in place of. So they reigned in place of Jesus Christ. They had all the spiritual authority over Europe.
So they had interpreted the biblical teaching to mean that all of that had been transferred to them on earth in terms of the spiritual concepts of the kingdom.
Yes. Okay. And then the state, the Holy Roman Empire, led by an emperor, was the temporal side of the kingdom. And between the two, the papacy and the emperors, they kept a tight control over the peoples of Europe for a whole millennium.
Where did all this go wrong? What happened to create the modern secular world that we see in Europe?
Well, I think that really goes back to the Renaissance and the Protestant Reformation. The Reformation was important because it divided Europe. The church no longer had the authority that it had before. Some nations actually broke away from the church and then formed their own national churches. The beliefs were very similar. But instead of looking to the papacy, people looked to their own kings. So you had this rivalry in Europe. And also in the countries which were Protestant countries, those that had broken away from the Catholic Church, you had a great deal of movement as far as new ideas were coming in, for example, which were very different from the ideas that had been there before. And then, of course, in the 1800s, you had other changes like the theory of evolution, and those things led to the secularization of Europe.
So it was political, coming from the political realm, from the cultural realm, from the scientific realm as well, as knowledge expanded about our universe and our world.
Yes, in every way.
All of that served to break the hold on that. When we look at Europe's dream of an empire and a union created and united under the banner of one cultural system, is this something we're going to see realized in the future, a desire to go back to that and revive the roots of that type of system you describe?
Well, the Bible shows us that a number of European countries are going to come together to form a superpower which will actually dominate the world after the United States loses its domination. And we see this in the scriptures as a revival of the old Roman Empire. The Roman Empire dominated Europe, and the Roman Empire in the 4th century saw a union between church and state. The Emperor Constantine used the church to try to unite the empire. And that system of church and state working together has gone on throughout the centuries, although it's not always been an easy relationship. But we are going to see that again, and that is prophesied in the scriptures.
All of this, again, seems irrelevant for our modern audience, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but it is very relevant because I think we live in a very interesting period right now. I mean, in December, for example, the Washington Post had an article that was titled The End of the Pax Americana. And Neil Ferguson, the historian who is an atheist, wrote an article on what will replace the United States or who will replace the United States as the dominant power. There is a feeling that things are changing. And although certainly some people have other ideas, Europe is one of the possibilities. And we do see now this move in Europe to try to bring about unity.
You've mentioned several times the idea of America not continually holding the dominant role in world affairs that it currently has. Again, that's hard for people to picture and realize, with America having the preeminent role that it does today in world affairs.
Well, that is true. But again, if you look at history, you see that no nation holds the preeminent position for a long period of time. The United States has been the preeminent nation now for 60 years and is still the preeminent military power. But Europe is today the world's dominant economic power, and history shows us that the dominant economic power, the dominant trading power, ultimately does become the dominant military power as well.
I should point out that such a change will have a tremendous impact upon you and I and our audience. It's not something that we relish, not something that we look forward to, but from what we understand about Bible, it is a reality we need to understand.
Well, that's very true. And if you look back at history, it'll be the first time in about 250 years that the Anglo-Saxon powers, the United States and Britain, have not dominated the world. So, the world's going to be very different because the thinking in Central Europe is very different from the thinking in the English-speaking countries.
When we return, we're going to look at a subject that might trigger exactly what we are talking about. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
What is the meaning of the mysterious images in the book of Revelation, of beasts, of catastrophes, and demonic traps of deception? As the scrolls in Revelation open, you can understand how even today's Christianity will dissolve in global religious violence. Discover this and more by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of The Book of Revelation Unveiled. In our age of spectacular discoveries in science, the miracle of life reveals astonishing truth you can read about regularly in the Good News magazine. As more mysteries of life are solved, put yourself in the positive big picture presented regularly in your free subscription to the Good News. Just call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for the Good News magazine.
And we are back to Beyond Today. We're discussing today Europe's long dream. You were watching that ad, and you saw an ad for the Good News magazine, which is our flagship publication. When you go online for the booklet on Revelation, you will also receive a free subscription to the Good News magazine. It covers a number of different topics each month in relation to Bible prophecy, Christian teaching, and Bible doctrine. The Good News magazine is a magazine that's going to help you a great deal in your understanding of the Word of God and your walk and your relationship with Him. When he was elected Pope in April 2005, Joseph Ratzinger took the name Benedict XVI. Saint Benedict is the patron saint of Europe. The Catholic College of Cardinals elected him in hope that he might be a factor in turning around the spiritual condition of Europe. Pope Benedict has made several appeals to Europe to rediscover its spiritual roots and to regain its historical mission. Looking at the historical role of his namesake, the Pope has said, Saint Benedict constitutes a fundamental point of reference for the unity of Europe and a powerful call to the irrefutable Christian roots of Christian culture and civilization. The Pope has a vision of Europe that stretches back to Charlemagne and is still important for the future of culture. He once wrote, Europe is a cultural and historical concept before a geographical one. In the era of Charlemagne, the word Europe expressed both a political reality, meaning a group of states that formed a new Roman Empire, but also a mission, preserving the best of antique culture and carrying it forward into history. Now, Melvin, we've discussed a great deal today about the history of Europe, its relationship to the church and all. But once again, what is the relevance of this subject to our audience and their everyday life?
Well, the Bible shows that Europe is going to be very important to the rest of the world, including people in the United States. Europe is already the dominant economic trading system, but it's going to become even more powerful. There are plans right now in Europe to unite Europe into a federal system, which will make it, a very big rival to the United States as a superpower. In fact, the Bible shows it will be a superpower to replace the U.S. Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, is taking advantage of her six-month presidency of the European Union between January and June of this year to revive the plans for a European constitution. And this would create this federal system. Additionally, March is the 50th anniversary of the Treaty of Rome, which started the European Union in 1957. So there's a great deal of enthusiasm for this. You mentioned earlier that Pope Benedict took the name Benedict simply because Saint Benedict was the patron saint of Europe.
Right.
And the Catholic Church is hoping for this revival of Europe. You know, if you look at fairly recent history, you'll see that the Catholic Church, which is a country that goes back right to the Roman Empire, the Catholic Church has had a great deal of diplomatic experience, and they're usually one step ahead. Just look, for example, in 1939, they chose Pius XII as the Pope, Eugenio Pacelli. And he had been the Vatican's ambassador to Germany, mm-hmm. Was heavily involved in Germany in the years leading up to World War II. They saw that a war was coming, and they wanted a man there who had that connection with Germany. Then in 1978, they chose John Paul II as Pope, a man from Poland, because they had the sense that Eastern Europe was going to break away from the communist system. Now the Vatican obviously has the sense that the time for European unity has come. Mm-hmm. And partly that is because of the demise of the United States, due to, you know, what Angela Merkel considers America's diminished role in the world due to the war in Iraq.
Well, when readers and watchers of this program here today look into this booklet on the Book of Revelation unveiled, they're going to read a section. They're going to be referred to the Book of Revelation, obviously. And in chapter 13 of Revelation, we have a reference to two beast-like figures that are there. What is that telling us, if anything, in relation to the subject we're talking today?
Well, it's interesting. The first few verses of Revelation chapter 13 are about a revival of the Roman Empire called the Beast. The Roman Empire was pictured as a beast in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, and this empire will be revived. So you've got the political aspect of the beginning of of chapter 13. But then from verse 11 right through to the end of chapter 13 of Revelation, you see a spiritual element as well. Not only do you have a political leader, but you also have a spiritual leader. In fact, the spiritual leader will be performing miracles, which of course will turn a lot of people back to the church. And you then get this coming together of church and state. It doesn't last very long, but it certainly is going to have an impact upon the whole world.
I believe in Revelation 13, it also shows that second figure performing miracles causes the world to pay attention and obey, and even uses the term worship, the first beast, which you said is the political figure. What's that all about?
Yes, that's true. The religious leader points people to the political institution. So you get Europe's influence around the world will increase as a result of that. And people will be following this false religious system. And that they follow it into the events that lead directly to the second coming of Jesus Christ.
So what you're saying then is described in Revelation 13 is a combination of church and state.
Yes.
Again, going back to the structure that we've talked about earlier in this program of what took place in through the Middle Ages in Europe, beginning essentially, as at least as we defined it, with Charlemagne. And so we're going to see a revival of that system impacting the whole world.
Yes, we are. And just as in those days, prior to the Protestant Reformation, there was no freedom of religion. You just had the one church, and people had to be a part of that church. You couldn't question anything.
Right.
And even after the Protestant Reformation, with national churches, you still didn't really have freedom of religion, but it was the beginning. It was the start of what we today take very much for granted. But we're going to go back into that again with this revival of the Roman Empire.
Now, we've got people watching today, and they're very skeptical about many things, and I'm sure they're going to be skeptical and are skeptical about what we're talking about here, because, as we've already described, Europe is a very secular state, and even in America, a more overtly religious country, there can be an argument made that religion is not driving so much of the everyday affairs of life. What events are we going to be looking at very quickly that could transform that continent into something completely different?
Well, look, 50 years ago, everybody thought that, that religion was dead, that it wasn't important anymore. Then, of course, on September the 11th, we woke up to the fact that religion still plays a very vital part in this world and what is happening in this world. Now, that we're talking there about Islam, but the same thing can happen to Europe. Europe's gone through cycles before where religion's influence diminishes, but then it suddenly comes back. You look at the 11th century, for example, now 1,000 years ago. In the 11th century, there was an increased threat from Islam in the Middle East, which led to the Pope in 1095 calling for a crusade against the Muslims. And a number of countries in Europe then came together to go to the Holy Land and fight the Muslims. And, you know, we could see something similar happen again.
So we're talking about an outside threat coming in to change everything completely.
I think we are. I think that's what's going to lead to this.
Europe has a long dream, and it's going to impact your life. Watch this word. We'll be back for a final word.
What is the meaning of the mysterious images in the book of Revelation, of beasts, of catastrophes, and demonic traps of deception? As the scrolls in Revelation open, you can understand how even today's Christianity will dissolve in global religious violence. Discover this and more by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of The Book of Revelation Unveiled.
Whether you realize it or not, Europe and what has happened in Europe for the past century has made a direct impact on your life. My father and his brothers went to Europe as soldiers to fight a war caused by forces that still churn beneath the surface of today's seemingly calmer waters. Those forces could once again spring to life with major consequences for our world. Terrorism and the clash of cultures could trigger events that would once again plunge the world into crisis. And the only ones who will be surprised are those who are not paying attention. Christ told his followers to watch and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Europe has a long dream, and it's important you understand what it means for our world beyond today. That's our program today. Melvin, appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you.
When you're looking to understand your future, remember this program. That's Beyond Today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.